All right, we'll be doing communion later, but for right now, I wanted to jump right into the Word. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to share the very Word of God with anyone. The fact that He allows us to speak His Word is pretty remarkable. We're continuing in 1 Timothy, and today, chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16. I thought I would read that first, and then, because it's a little bit of a testimony of the Apostle Paul, I'm going to jump back to the book of Acts, one of the places where he gave his testimony. Paul liked to tell his testimony because it's pretty remarkable that God would choose to save him, like God would choose to save any of us. So, Father, as we open Your Word and read Your Word, I pray that our hearts will be tender and that we will hear appropriately what You have to tell us today. Thank You, Jesus. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. If you would turn with me back to the book of Acts in chapter 22. In Acts 22... we find Paul in Jerusalem. Some people had gone and found him there, and they were stirring the crowds up and trying to get him arrested. The Roman soldiers came to arrest this person that was starting riots in the town. And Paul spoke to them in Greek, and they were surprised that he could speak Greek. They thought he was an Egyptian rabble-rouser that was there to create problems. And he asked permission to speak to this crowd that was angry with him and wanted him killed. And he had their attention for quite a few verses here until they realized that he wasn't one of them any longer. Starting in chapter 22, verse 1, he's speaking to the crowd now in Aramaic. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, he uses that name-dropping thing. They would have all known who Gamaliel was. He was a lead teacher in Jewish law. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. So he's found a way to connect with them. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Now he's got them on his side, except for in 1 Timothy, these are the same things he said about himself that he's saying made him the worst of sinners. But here they're thinking, yeah, go Paul, you're a great guy. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said. Go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He didn't mention that Ananias was also a follower of the way who had gone to persecute. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard, and now what you are waiting for. Get up. Now what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." He lost the crowd right there. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's interesting that as long as people are like us, we accept their sin. But if they purport to be something different than us, then their sins look pretty terrible. As we come to the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's Supper, in Jesus Christ, we're one. There's not to be division. And yet in the church in Corinth, there was a great deal of division, and that's why we get this great teaching on the Lord's Supper. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 11, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good." That's probably not something you want to hear about your church. "In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you." And to some extent, I believe it. That's when problems arise. When Paul gave his testimony to the Jews, they were so happy to hear everything he had to say about the terrible things he'd been doing to the Christians. But when they found out that he actually had changed sides, he got picked by the other team, and he was going to go and play for the other team, they got quite angry about that. When we come into the Lord's house, there's really only supposed to be one team. It's the team for God, the team for Jesus, the Messiah that saved us. Verse 19, "No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not." And this is the section that we're very familiar with. And if I could have Chuck and Chip, do you want to help also distribute the elements? Okay. And then I'll come back to this section in a couple of minutes.